In the bulletin of a week ago, I was addressing questions from parishioners, one of which is why we as Christians bother to read the Old Testament. Shouldn't we find everything that we need to live the Christian life in the Gospels and in the letters of the New Testament? And in that column in the bulletin of a week ago, I mentioned that one of the primary reasons why we need to read the Old Testament is so that we can see where Jesus comes from, not just from heaven, but he was the fruit of the hopes and dreams and prayers of the Jewish people for thousands of years. And while they were praying that God would send a Savior for them, God prepared them with patriarchs, prophets, and judges who announced the coming of the Lord centuries before he was born. And since we are called Judeo-Christians, so much of what we believe as Catholics comes right out of Judaism. Because once again, it's not a different covenant that God made with them that we celebrate in the church. The church is the perfection, completion, and consummation of the covenant that God made with Abraham and his chosen people. And so our faith would mean less and be less sensible to us if we didn't understand the Jewish roots of Jesus. Jesus, after all, was Jewish. He was revered as a rabbi because of his knowledge of the Hebrew scriptures. And so we need to know. And yet in the Hebrew scriptures, we find so many rules for this, that, and everything under the sun. In the first five books of the Old Testament, what Jewish people called the Torah, in Catholic Bibles, it's referred to as the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's where all the laws that governed God's people were taken from. And when you add them up, there were 613 different laws of ritual purity, 248 of which were about things you were supposed to do, 365 were about things you should never do, lest they make you unlovable, untouchable, and unclean. And so the Pharisees, they believed themselves to be the guardians, not only of the Word of God, but the law of God. And whereas that law was given by God to keep people in right relationship with him and each other, to help them on their way to heaven, eventually the Pharisees started interpreting these laws so that only Pharisees could get to heaven and everybody else was going to fall way short. And so instead of the law being a help, it was a hindrance. Instead of the law being an instrument of salvation, it became a wedge and a weapon that the Pharisees used to keep other people far from God, far from Pharisees, and eventually far from each other, because all they could see were the things that separated them, the things that divided them. But God's law was given to them not only to maintain their right relationship with him, but it also dealt with how they should treat each other. And we saw that in the first reading today from the book of Exodus chapter 22, where God was warning the Israelites, don't mistreat the alien or the refugee. Don't mistreat the poor. Why? Because Israel, they should pay forward what they can't pay back. They were once aliens. They were once refugees wandering in the wilderness. God took them to a promised land and sustained them there. They were once poor. They become rich only in as much as they trust in the Lord. And so they can't pay back what God has done for them. They can only pay it forward. And God took that very seriously. He said, if you mistreat the alien refugee, then I'm going to use the sword and kill you. That's how much this meant to God. And so it wasn't just love of God, but love of neighbor, clearly established centuries before Jesus has the discussion that he has today with the Pharisees in the temple at Jerusalem. Remember, for these last several weeks, we've been listening to Jesus during that first Holy Week. It was the preparation week for the Passover. There were hundreds of thousands of Jewish people that had gathered in Jerusalem to get ready for the feast. And Jesus spent most of that time between Palm Sunday and the Last Supper on Holy Thursday in the temple, teaching and preaching and debating with his critics. The Sadducees have failed to trip him up and to trap him, so now the Pharisees take a stab at him. And they've asked Jesus to comment, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And it's a loaded question. With 613 to choose from, how will Jesus get it right? Well, it helps that he's God and that he knows everything and that he was there when God made those laws. And the Pharisees can't argue with his selection because he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. They agree with that. Yes, there is one God. Him alone shall you serve, and he should be honored above and beyond all things. But then Jesus added to his answer, he said there's a second commandment that is like the first, and in these commandments hinge the whole law and the prophets. And he said, it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Pharisees were not thrilled with that part of Jesus' answer. They didn't believe that how they treated other people should have any bearing whatsoever on whether or not they themselves could get to heaven. And now Jesus has made that commandment to love your neighbor equal with love of God, that you can't have one without the other. And that was somewhere where the Pharisees were going to fall way short, because they were so self-righteous, they didn't believe that they should have to treat others well, although they certainly like to be well-treated. And it's instructive for us also, because we'd like to think that loving God and doing the right thing is enough to help us get across that finish line, to get through the narrow gate that will take us to the Father's house in heaven. And yet Jesus is telling us that it's going to be weighed on the judgment day, not only in so much as we loved God and honored God and trusted in God and didn't make anything more important to us than God, but it's also going to be determined on how we treated God's people. And that's a challenge for all of us, because whether we like to admit it or not, there are always individuals or groups of people that perhaps we'd rather not spend time with. Perhaps we don't get along with people in our family, people in our workplace, perhaps people in this parish, who knows, that perhaps just make us a little bit uncomfortable, or they irritate us, whatever the case may be. Could even be a stranger, someone that cuts us off in line at the supermarket or at the bank, or won't let us merge onto the expressway. There's a lot of ill will that we eventually bear towards a lot of people, whether we know them or not. But first and foremost, it's usually the people that we say we love, and it's the people that we live with. Because, especially as the pandemic lockdown proved, absence makes the heart grow fonder. You can spend a little bit too much time with people, and then you really find out what aggravates you about them. But Jesus, wedding these two commandments together, has made it very instructive for us that in order for us to show God that we love God, we have to share God's love with God's people. And that's something that has motivated the church for 20 centuries. That is why the Catholic Church, more than any government or country or institution or company or corporation in the history of man, feeds more people, takes care of more sick people, runs more nursing homes, hospitals, and orphanages, and schools, and soup kitchens, and homeless shelters than any other institution the world has ever known. Because we want to show our love for God by sharing God's love with his people. And it happens right here in this parish with the St. Vincent de Paul Pantry that's in operation 7 days a week, with the recent efforts of the Blue Army, making sure that we were our brother's keeper, looking after those most isolated and alone because of the pandemic, calling them, picking up their prescriptions, buying their groceries, making sure they had an Easter meal, a phone call a week, and that effort continues even now. But it's not good enough for us to hide upon the efforts of the Catholic Church in the world or the Queen's Parish. All of us individually have to make sure that we're checking the boxes when it comes to putting God first, trusting in him and loving him before, above, and beyond all other things. But also, in terms of letting that overflowing love that we have for God and God's love for us pour into the way that we're treating other people. And that's a great challenge for me and for everyone. And so, my friends, if we want to see the face of God one day in heaven, then we need to look for God's face in everybody around us and start letting go of all of the grudges and the resentments, the impatience, the imperfections, and those things that drive us to aggravation so quickly, and let them go so that we can find Christ in other people, serve Christ in other people, love Christ in other people, forgive as we've been forgiven, love as we've been loved. If we can all make our effort to do that, then this year that has been such a difficult one with pandemics and pandemonium and protests and all the political unrest and upheaval all around us, well, we'll get through it together and we will journey together towards the kingdom of God.